across this really sweet sefer called Divrei Menachem. I was just shuffling through in a second-hand store here on Fairfax, and I came across Divrei Menachem from the Strop Kiver. So, Menachem's father was Reb Shulam of Stropkov, whose father was Reb Cheskel Shrage, and his father was the Divrei Chaim of Sanz. And together, Mem of Menachem and Shin of Shulam and Yud of Yecheskel and Ches of Chaim, they make together Mashiach, right? So he's got a Divrei Chaim, he was known as the Divrei Yecheskel, he was known as the Divrei Sholem, and the Menachem was known as the Divrei Menachem. I came across a fascinating Torah. Here in this week's Sedra, in Parshas Terumah, it says in Kapitel Chofei Posuk Mem, Ure'ei Va'asei B'sav Nisom. So, look, see, and make in their image. Asha Atamore Bahar, that you're shown in the mountain. So Rashi says, Ure'ei Va'asei, see and make, look and make. Re'ei Kan Bahar, look, see here in the mountain, Tavnis, She'ani Mara Yischach. I'm showing you a picture, God says, I'm showing you this image of how to make it. Magid, this tells us, She'niskashe Moshe B'Masa Menoire. Moshe had difficulty with the Menoire. Ad, She'heru Lo Yakodesh Baruch Hu Menoire Shel Esh. Till God shows him a menorah made of fire. So, the Divrei Menachem, the Helige Strop Kiver, he says, he brings the Balaturim. The Balaturim says, the genius of the Balaturim is that he had this photographic memory of Tanakh. In any word, he could say where it appears, how many times it appears, how it appears, and what context of how it appears. So the Balaturim notes that the word Ure'ei, while it appears many times, many times in scripture, but at the beginning of a sentence, at the beginning of a pasuk, it only appears three times in the whole of the Tanakh. Here, Ure'ei va'asei, look and make. And another where it says, Ure'ei im derech oitzev bi, look, see if there is any sadness, any path of sadness in me. And then finally, the famous one that we all know, Ure'ei bonim levonecho, and see children to your children's children, Sholem al Yisro. So the Strop Kiver says there's a connection. The behetiv is pointing to something really important. So he says, and here I'm taking a little bit liberty, because he doesn't actually say the words that I'm going to say, but it seems to me this is what the Divrei Menachem is saying. He says, Moshe realized when God demanded of him that he make a menorah with seven branches, Moshe realized that this is the tikkun of the seven midos. Chesed, Gvura, Tiferes, Netzach, Hoyd, Yisoid, and Malchus. So, Mikan is Kasha Moshe. The word Niskasha can mean he had difficulty, but generally, elsewhere, it's used as an expression of sexuality. So Moshe realized that we are being demanded of us is the tikkun of Yesoid, as well as all the other middos, Chesed, Gvura, etc. There's the tikkun of Yesoid. Mikan niskasha Moshe. So Moshe says, Erkenisht. All the middos you can demand of me, God. Rabbeinu Shlem, fair enough. You want me to do tikkun ha-middos, okay. But tikkun ha-bris of Yesoid, I can't. It's too hard. Niskasha Moshe Shiro'o Shekoshali Yisroel Lesakin Kuroyas Kolazai Midas Bifrat Midas Yisod Shekoshali Takno. It's hard. V'herulah Kodesh Baruch Hu menorah shel esh. So God shows him a menorah shel fire. What's the tikkun? So the Strop Kiva says, the Gemara says, every day a person's Yetzihara tries to beat him, conquer him, vanquish him. B'chol yoyim v'yoyim yitzra shel odom is gabol. Every day a person's desire is just like on overwhelming. V'ilamole HaKadosh Baruch Hu oizro le'yochel, if not that God helps us, a person would succumb to the Yetzihara. So the Strop Kiva says, we find that when it came to matters of sexuality, that was the one place where the Yidden cried. Bochu lemishpachosem, it says that Moshe heard the Yidden crying to their families. Moshe got very angry. What's this? Bochu lemishpachosem. So the Gemara says, Al iske mishpachosem. It was about the matters of their families, right? It was to do with sexuality. That was the one thing that we couldn't really, of all the mitzvahs that we were given, that was the one that really we didn't know how to deal with. So the Strop Kiva says that crying that we did brought us into a deep atzvus. It made us sad. And there's something about our sexuality that can make us sad. And when we're sad, then we can't do tikkun habris. Because if there's one thing that will prevent me from being holy, that's sadness. So what's the answer? So God shows Moshe a menorah shel esh, which is a siman on simcha, right? Because we were learning when we were learning the piyasetz in the Torah about the four elements. You know, according to the Zohar, there are four elements. We were learning Sefer Tzirah, three elements: fire, air, and water. But in the Zohar, we find four elements. We don't find that you can worship God with the element of earth. You can worship God with fire and water and air, but with earth we don't find it. So the Piyasetzna says in the name of his father, because earth represents atzvus, represents sadness and depression, and you can't worship God with depression. So the Strop Kiva makes the connection with the psukim that the Balaturim brings. Ure'eva asei betav nisam. God says to Moshe, you have to look and make the menorah with seven branches, and you have to be mesaken the bris, you have to do tikkun yosod. So David Amelech says, Ure'ei im derech oitzev bi. Look, see if there is a path of sadness in me, and you won't find a path of sadness in me. And that's why Ure'ei bonim levonecho sholem al Yisrael. So God says to Moshe, it's true that tikkun habris is almost impossible, and especially that once one gets into the inyonim of Yisoid, it's very depressing. And a person gets depressed, then they fall mamash deeply into all the pigam of Yisoid. But you know what? You can make a menorah of fire. Fire represents warmth and simcha, and if there's one way of beating the Yetzihara of Yesoid, that's through simcha. There's nothing that stands higher than simcha, right? Mitzvah gedoyle liyos besimcha, the Reb Nachman is always saying, why? Mamash, because somebody who's besimcha doesn't do these averus, right? It's when we're sad and we're caught up in this triangle of self-obsession that we get caught up in all kinds of craziness. But as soon as a person breaks out and they get into a state of simcha, of joy, today, and I was thinking over some of the Torahs that we've been learning, you know, the Torah that the Rav Zina says in the name of Yizayda, that Nimnu v'gamru, the Chachamim, they looked around, they did a count, they decided it's easier not to be born than it is to be born. And the Ishbitzer points out, it doesn't say that it's better not to be born, it says it's easier. Because the truth is, it would be easier not to be born. But we have faith that it's better to be born, which means that the Rabbeinu Shalom is benign. And that doesn't just apply to the big tzaddik. The Chachamim are speaking for every creature, that it doesn't matter what happens to us in our life, at the end of it we'll say, thank you. Thank you for creating me. And so underneath that is the faith and the belief that it is better to be than not to be. Because there'll be some profit. So how can I sit in my blackness and say, oi, I wish I were never born? How can I sit there in my depression and say, oi, I wish I weren't alive? I can't do that if I really believe. Noyach loy lo'odam shloy nivra mishinivra. But toiv loy shinivra. That even though it may be easier not to be born, because sometimes a person feels down, right? But if I really believe the Chachamim, it means that I really believe that it's better to be born than not to be born, because the Rabbeinu Shalom has a good purpose for me. The Rabbeinu Shalom has a good purpose for me. Why am I sitting around saying, I wish I weren't alive, you know? Like, unless I'm going to assume and posit a hypothesis of a malignant creator, right? I mean, otherwise, if that's the image, fair enough. But for me, the Chachamim tell me that I need to believe in a benign, right, creator. Benign means, sof kol sof, it's going to be kedai. The Baruch Hashem is going to make it worth my while. No, if it's worth my while being born, how can I waste time thinking to myself it's better not to be born, right? That's the Chakira. It's interesting, I picked up a Sefer Chovetz Halvavos today, and Chovetz Halvavos was in some sense, it's the very first Musa Sefer. And the opening of Chovetz Halvavos is called Shah Yichud Ve'amuna, and he discusses the necessity, the mitzvah for establishing the oneness of God, and the process for establishing the oneness of God requires a whole bunch of knowledge, da, as a lekeo vichova of Deu. You have to know God. In order to know God, you have to be able to prove the existence of God and the nature of the world, and that the world is not God, that God is God, and there's a difference between everything that exists, which is created, and God who is not, and so forth. And by the Jews that I grew up among, it was forbidden to learn this section of the Chovetz Halvavos, and Chovetz Halvavos we learned in Yiddish, but only the sections that came after that. The section called Shah Yichud V'Emunah didn't have a parish on it, didn't have a translation of it, it was in small writing. And today I picked up, my son has a volume here, so it's like 40 or 50 pages of why we shouldn't learn it. So in the beginning, as a sort of a hagdoma to this section of the Chovetz Halvavos, he brings all the Gedolim from the Vilna Gaon to the Baal Shem Tov to the Chasam Sofer to everything to express why we shouldn't learn, and he says, and that's why I didn't translate it, so move on to the next one. First, I want to say that today in the Degel Machne Ephraim that we're going to be learning, he says in the name of his Zayde, the Baal Shem Tov, who says in the name of the Chovetz Halvavos, right? So the Baal Shem Tov was Boki in the Sefer Chovetz Halvavos. But one of the things that I saw today in the Degel Machne Ephraim, when he says, if you want to, you can learn from the Torah a Chakira about God, right? You don't have to go to a Greek philosopher and Aristotle to prove the existence of God, right? You can come to the Torah, you can do your Chakira from the Torah itself. And I felt like I understood what he means today, because, you know, so many people believe in God. Yes, somebody believe in God. Yeah, I believe in God. But what we're learning the pshat that the Ribbono Shel Olam is benign to me personally, the Ribbono Shel Olam created me personally, and that in the end, no matter what happens through this life, in the end I'm going to say thank you. Thank you for creating me. That is a belief that's come to me through learning the Torah. So the real image of God that I have didn't come about from reading Plato. It's come about through reading the Torah. So Das Lekev Avicho V'Avdeu still applies, that a person needs to not just accept, oh yeah, I believe, but to really start to think about what is it, what does God mean to me? So this week in the Torah it says V'Yikchu Li Truma. God says to Moshe, speak to the Yidden. Daber El Bnei Yisroel. Vayidaber Shem Moshe. Let me God spoke to Moshe saying, Daber El Bnei Yisroel, speak to the Yidden. V'yikchu li truma, and they should take an offering to me. Me'ez kol isha sheyidvenu liboy, from every person whose heart wants to give. Tikchu es trumosi, take my truma. So Rashi says, V'yikchu li truma, they should take me a truma. Li lishmi. So anybody who considers themselves a darshan, anybody who is anybody in the Torah, you could do a who's who of Torah exegesis from this pasuk, because everybody has pshat in this Rashi. What does Rashi mean? V'yikhu li truma, they should take me an offering, li lishmi. Oh, what is Rashi coming to add? So the Degel, he says like this. Everybody knows Kodesh Baruch Hu and his name are one. It's not like a person made of flesh and blood. I am me. My name is Hershey. My name isn't me. I'm not my name. He says, and I heard from my Zayde, the Baal Shem Tov, in the name of the Chochem, the master of the Chovos HaLevavos, that God is his name. His name is God. So when God says, V'yikhu li, take me, how are you going to take me? There's only one way. You have to take my name. So that's the meaning of Rashi. V'yikhu li, what's li? God says, take me. How are you going to take me? No, lishmi, take my name. So you have to take God's name. Then, v'osu li, migdosh, make my name a sanctuary. V'shuchadti b'soicham, and then I can dwell inside them. How do you take God's name? I mean, how do you take God as a person? So the Degel says, you have to take the Torah. If you can take the Torah, which is, as we know, just made up of names of God, then you can take God. So what does it mean to take the Torah? So he says, if I learn the Torah because I want to be Mekayim, so I'm learning the positive things because I want to fulfill the positive commandments, and I learn the negative things because I want to avoid the bad things, then I'm taking those words of Torah and I'm making them a part of myself. In making them a part of myself, I am taking God, because God is the Torah. Says b'chol mokay mashe askir shmiya, when you mention the name of God, over elecho verachticho, because God is his name. He goes and he repeats it and he says, b'zeh hu loikeach l'hashem kav yochol u'mamshich olav hashros hachchina hagdash. So if you own the Torah, what does that mean to own the Torah? You make some part of the Torah yours. You know, everybody finds in the Torah something they want to learn. If you take that and you make that yours, and you learn it not because you want to show off and say, ah, look what I can learn. Look what part of the Torah has become mine. If you learn it because you want the words to have meaning for you, whatever those words are, then it's v'yikhuli. Then God says, you're taking me. Because those words are the name of God. Where do you find that God is his name? So the Dega says, Terumo. The word Terumo is Torah Mem. And this idea that the word Terumo is Torah Mem, we find in the Zohar, and all the Mekubalim talk about Tikkunim, Megalamukha is the Shlo, Torah Mem. So the Dega says, what does it mean, Torah Mem? And he talks about the Yetziris Havlad. The Gemara says that a child, a baby, a fetus, becomes human, and you can differentiate the sex at 40 days. Even though, truth to tell, in modern times, we can't really, by looking with the naked eye, really see what sex it is at 40 days. But apparently, in the time of the Tanoim, Shmuel in Bovel, he was a big mumcha and he could tell. So the Torah, in a sense, the Chachamim are saying, that at 40 days, even though it's not really much different from a tadpole, right? At 40 days, very, 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 very small. Nevertheless, it already contains within it all the different parts that are later going to grow into the different organs, and already the brain is split into two parts, the left and the right, and so forth. So already the blueprint is apparent. You know something? In a sense, the blueprint was there earlier, right? Because inside the sperm already, there's a blueprint. Nevertheless, there are different stages of blueprint, right? So, the Rebbe Ephraim says, my brother asked me, his brother is the famous Rebbe, Rebbe Baruch of Mezhibir. He says, my brother asked me, what is all this in the Zohar about Torah Mem? What's the grace of Zach? So it was this explanation that the Dega gives to his brother about Torah Mem that I wanted to share, because I thought it's unbelievable Torah. He said, God learns with Moshe Rabbeinu Torah on Mount Sinai for 40 days. What's the significance of that? So the Dega says like this. The Torah is infinite. If you think about all the possibilities of all the babies that could be born, right? There are billions and billions and billions of people, right? And it doesn't even begin to really, you know, touch on the possibilities. You know, just different color hair, different shape hair, different, you know, texture hair, different the way the hair grows on the skin, how it comes out, and how, you know, the pattern of the hair, just the hair, right? Start to go deeper and think about, you know, the way the brain develops like this. You know, I have no hasoga in the differences of one brain to another any more than I have a hasoga of one hair to another. But if you think about the possibilities of all the different children that could be born into the world, right? So that is how many Torahs there are. Because in the Dega says, the real Torah in the mind of God, it's infinite. So you know what had to be born? Moshe Rabbeinu's Torah. It's fantastic. The Torah that we have, Zichru Torah's Moshe Avdi, is Moshe Rabbeinu's Torah. 40 days. Once it's 40 days, once a baby is 40 days old, it's like it's whole. Everything from there onwards is just a growth, a development. Nothing's going to change anymore, right? The blueprint is there. The shape of the limbs, it's all complete. It's the blueprint of how this baby is going to be is already, it's all decided at 40 days, right? Long fingers, short fingers, dexterous fingers, or clumsy fingers, all already there. Even though when you look at it, you see flippers, you don't see fingers, right? So the Degen Machne Ephraim says, that's the meaning of the Torah Mem. You see, the Rabbeinu Shlom could have taken Aaron and given the Torah through Aaron. It would be completely different Torah. Could have given the Torah through Yehoshua, through Ezra, or through Avraham Avinu. It would have been a completely different Torah. You know why it would be a completely different Torah? Because your Torah and my Torah wouldn't be in it. The genius of Moshe Rabbeinu, it's like the DNA of Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu was from the tribe of Levi, you know, and Levi had within him, you know, this DNA of Levi, and so all his kindlech aleviim. I'm not from the tribe of Levi, right? So I don't have that DNA from Levi. We, all of us, have the DNA of Yaakov Avinu, right? So when it comes to our physical bodies, who we are descendants of Yaakov Avinu, and we have within us that tipa of Zera, right? That drop of sperm that God says, V'amatim b'mo'ahavti eschem, you ask me how I love you? Hallo och Esav leYaakov. Yaakov and Esav are brothers. For Esav sonesiv Yaakov ahavti, right? I hate Esav, I love Yaakov, says God, right? What does that mean? So the Ishbitzu says that in the moment when Yitzchak's seed impregnated two eggs inside Rivka, this one already was a hated one, this one is already a loved one. And, you know, who could see the difference between this and this? Who can distinguish between this Zera Kodesh and this Zera not? Only Rabbeinu Shlom, right? Because say the DNA that's going to be unwinding itself in the cell here, this is Kodesh Kedoshim, this is Yaakov Avinu, and this unwinding here, this is Esav, Horoshu, right? This is Amalek, this is Edom. It's a fantastic thing. Who can read the possibilities of what's going to unwind? Only Rabbeinu Shlom himself, right? So the Rabbeinu Shlom takes Moshe Rabbeinu up on the mountain, and he spends 40 days with him, dafka 40 days. Because in 40 days there's a Torah, an embryonic Torah, that Moshe is going to bring down the mountain, which is going to contain within it all the possibilities of all your Torah and all my Torah, that's until the end of time. It's enough. Moshe contains within him such a breadth of mind and such a breadth of spirit and such a gewalt neshama that the Torah that comes through him, it's enough. Don't need any other. It's enough. You know, I was thinking this week, you ask a goy, what's the worst avera in the world, right? What's the worst thing that ever happened in the world, right? I don't know, every goy's got another thing. You ask a Palestinian, you'll say the Nakba, right? The 1948, what the Jews did to us. Almost every nation that you ask what's the worst thing that ever happened, they'll point to some other nation and they'll say, oh, they did this to us, right? The Armenians will say that the Turks did their genocide to us in 1917, and this one will point to this one, this one will point to this one. You ask a Yid, what's the worst thing that ever happened to the world? They'll say the Maaseh Egel, right? We Yidden, look what we did. It's an amazing thing, right? We don't even say the worst crime in the world is the killing of 6 million Yidden. It's like, yeah, it happened, yeah, but the worst Avera has got to be the Maaseh Egel, right? Maybe you could go Adam and Chava eating from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, right? But if you're talking about like an Avera, right? And people who should know better. Yeah, it's not the black hole of Calcutta, you know, it's not like the massacre of this and the... No. It's the Maaseh Egel. How does it come about that we have such a consciousness? How does it come about that we... that, first of all, we can look at ourselves and you know, not have to blame the world, like, for the worst thing that ever happened, right? The Churban Beis HaMikdash or whatever. Yeah, Churban Beis HaMikdash, we know why it happened. Sinas Chinam, because we weren't nice enough to each other, you know? So, like, we have a way of looking at things that is, it's useful. We have this Torah that every person can just open it up and see themselves laid out at 40 days. Because the Torah is laid out in such a way, all you have to do is open up and it's there. And each of us can, like, look at ourselves and find ourselves in the Torah of Moshe. It's a fantastic thing.